الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we were reading المسألة الثالثة من مسائل الجاهلية، من مسائل الجاهلية التي خالف فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل الجاهلية. The third issue from the affairs of the days of ignorance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opposed the people of those days with regards to those affairs that are in contradiction to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of that was the fact that they were upon shirk and associating partners with Allah in worship, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came with the tawheed al-khalis, pure and sincere monotheism. And likewise, because of that, they had different methodologies and different ways, and they were not united, rather they were divided. They were divided, just as their objects of worship and their means of worshiping them were different, then likewise, because of this, they were divided and they were not united. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came with the order of unification, with the order of a tawheed, and following the law and legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this means there is unification. The unification can be established. And the third affair that the author mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opposed the people with regards to was the issue of listening and obeying the person of authority. Listening and obeying the person of authority. And the people in al-Jahiliyyah, in the time before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they considered this to be a disgrace and a means of degradation and humiliation, that they would submit and listen to an authority, that they would submit and listen to an authority and have someone in charge over them absolutely. And this is something that they deemed to be blameworthy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opposed them in that, and he ordered the people to listen and to obey the authority, and to be patient in times of oppression from the authority, and likewise to be patient upon their harms with regards to the affairs of the deen and the dunya. And likewise, in our previous class we have seen a number of narrations with regards to this affair as well, how just as the author he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fakhalafahum rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa amarahum bisabri ala jawr alwulati wa amara bisam'i wa ta'ati lahum wan nasiha wa ghalladha fi dhalika wa abda fihi wa a'ad, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opposed them in that, and he ordered them to be patient upon the oppression of the rulers, and he ordered them to listen and to obey them and to be sincere in advising them, and he was stern about that sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he clarified in great clarification, and likewise he repeated it time after time and in different circumstances and situations. We have seen from that some of the different sermons that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he gave. There's too many things going on. Barakallahu fikum. You come to class ready. Zakhamallah khaira. Tashwish yani yushawish. Wal al-gharat tahta al-lagat. So try to avoid making disturbances. Zakhamallah khaira. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified this in many different circumstances, and from that is what he mentioned in the different sermons in Hajjatul Wada' sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many different admonishments and many different advices and orders that he made in different times in that pilgrimage sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in different manners, in different aspects, and he clarified this particular principle. And we have seen the narration of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned this fundamental principle coupled along with the great pillars of al-Islam. Coupled along with the great pillars of al-Islam, and that establishing these pillars along with this principle is from the means to enter paradise. So therefore this principle is something great, and it's not something light. It's something major, and it's not something small or insignificant. Right? This is from the fundamentals of the religion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he came with. he came with, that the deenah must be sincerity and purity for Allah, and the obedience must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance to the laws and legal ways of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the unification must be established in the deen in this manner, and likewise in the dunya. And in the dunya, because the unification and the establishment of the religion cannot be established except with the establishment of the worldly life. They come hand in hand. They come hand in hand. And the worldly life cannot be established except with a ruler. Except with a ruler, with an imam, with an authority, with a government that will impose the security and the safety of the people so that the religion can be established. And there is no ruler except by listening and obeying. And there is no ruler, there's no benefit from a ruler or a government authority except in listening and obeying. And these three affairs, they come together in this manner. They come together in this manner. We mentioned yesterday narrations with regards to the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the rulers oppress a person, what one should do? He should be patient, and he should ask Allah for his right and give those people of authority their rights. This is with regards to oppression. Likewise, we had seen as well that if one were to see disobedience from the rulers committing actions of disobedience, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sins outwardly and the likes like this, then likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised in the same light to be patient, along with hating that disobedience and disliking that, and still honoring and respecting the ruler, even if the ruler were to delay the prayer from the proper time. This is where we had left off in the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, that even if the rulers, they delayed the prayer from the proper time, even then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the people to be patient and to not be a means of causing any dissension or any problems in the community. Rather, one, he will pray their prayer at his proper time, and then if he happened to be in the vicinity whenever the congregation is established with those imams, with those leaders, with those rulers who delayed their prayer, then he will pray with them likewise. He will pray with them likewise as a non-obligatory prayer, in order to keep the unity, in order to keep the peace in the society, and to not cause chaos and corruption and lead to bloodshed and to the security being jeopardized in the society. So this is from the issue. This is from the reasons of that, to keep the security and the safety and the society in general, and the general benefit of the society flowing. And from the head of that is the religion, is establishing the deen, and that is established whenever there's safety and security in the streets and in the homes. As for whenever there's fear and fright and the security and safety is violated, then even at this time the masajid, maybe they'll be closed, or a person, he'll be afraid to leave his home just to go to pray and the likes like this, or maybe one will leave out of his house to go pray and not come home because of the troubles and because of the chaos and because of the violence and the dangers that are found in the pathway. And this is something that is seen, and even until these days, in some of the Muslim lands. Some of the Muslim lands where these principles have been violated, that a father, he will leave his home to go to the masjid and not return. Waliyadhu billah, because of the likes of these affairs and the likes of these great contradictions to the guidance and the advice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this also we have another narration in Sahih Muslim as well, from the narration of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in this long narration, and in it he says, يُكُونُ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّةٌ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهُدَايَ وَلَا يَسْتَنُونَ بِسُنَّتِي. There's going to be after me أَئِمَّةٌ, yani rulers, people of authority, yani leaders and governors and the likes like this, umara, لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهُدَايَ وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي. They are not following my guidance, and neither are they following my laws and legal ways. They are not following my guidance, and neither are they upon my laws and legal ways. So what are they upon then? They're upon innovation, at best. If not disbelief, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. They're upon innovation, or could even be upon disbelief. Yani they're in contradiction to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're not implementing his sunnah. and they're not implementing his sunnah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informing us of these affairs, that this will happen, and these issues, they occurred as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned. So these rulers, they're going to come, he's telling sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لا يهتدون بهدايا ولا يستنون بسنتي. They're not following my guidance, they're not taking my guidance as guidance, and nor are they following my laws and legal ways. سيقوم فيهم رجال قلوبهم قلوب الشياطين في جثمان الإنس. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there are going to be men from amongst them, their hearts of the devils in the bodies of men. That their hearts are hearts of devils in the bodies of men, meaning their hearts are going to be filthy and corrupted. Their hearts are going to be evil and wicked. And this is why they will not follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor abide by his sunan and laws and legal ways. So at this time, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he says, قَالَ قُلْتُ كَيْفَ أَسْنَعُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ أَدْرَكْتُ ذَلِكَ. I said to him, that what should I do, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I meet the likes of these days, and if I come to these times? قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَسْمَعُ وَتُطِيعُ لِلْأَمِيرِ, that you should listen and obey the leader. You should listen and obey the leader. وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ظَهْرُكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ, even if your back is beaten and your wealth is taken from you. And even if you are oppressed physically in your body and likewise in your property, then you should listen and obey. So these are a number of narrations that we have read up until now with regards to this issue, all clarifying what the author he's saying, وَأَبْدَى فِيهِ وَأَعَدْ وَأَبْدَى فِيهِ وَأَعَدْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified this issue in so many different manners and different details and different aspects, and he repeated it time after time and over in different circumstances and situations. Likewise in Sahih Bukhari, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَرِهَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا مَنْ كَرِهَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا فَلْيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ السُّلْطَانِ شِبْرًا مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. That whoever dislikes something from his ruler, then he should be patient. فَمَنْ كَرِهَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا. Whoever dislikes anything from his ruler. We have seen different examples here. Oppression, if you dislike oppression from him, or disobedience from him, or innovation from him, or corruption and evil from him. He's corrupted in his methodology, in his creed, in his belief, in his statements, in his actions, in his conduct, in his manners. You dislike any of that from him, فَلْيَصْبِرْ, then he should be patient. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ السُّلْطَانِ شِبْرًا. Shibran is from the thumb to the pinky, like this, whenever the hand is open. This is a means of measurement. This is called a shibr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, so whoever backs away or leaves off the authority, turns away from the authority, even the hand span, the amount of a hand span, wa mata mitatan jahiliya, and he died in that manner, he will die a death of the days of ignorance. And he would die in the same manner, because in the days of ignorance, this is how they were dying. They were dying in this manner, in chaos, without having any allegiance, and without having any unity, and without obeying the authority. As has proceeded, that's from the ways of Jahiliyyah. So the one who refuses the authority, and he rejects and revolts against the authority in this manner, and then he dies in that state, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, he dies in the same manner that they died. Yani in general, yani in opposition to this particular principle. Not necessarily meaning that he died a death of disbelief, but he died yani in this manner, upon that which the people of Jahiliyyah, they were upon. Upon that which the people of Jahiliyyah, they were upon. And we all know the narration of Al-Irbal ibn Sariyah. We have taken it in a number of classes previously, radiallahu anhu. Whenever he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa'adhana mu'idhatin bariqah, That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a great admonition, and the tears, the hearts trembled, and the eyes were running with tears. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising them in a great manner, and they said, this is like it's an admonition of one who's bidding farewell, so advise us. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised them with this affair here, and this is well known. أُوصِيكُم بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. This is what he advised them. After admonishing them until their hearts are trembling out of fear and their eyes are running from the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla with tears, and then he advised them at their request
with this issue here, to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and to listen and to obey the ruler. And the narration is well known. Also in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من خلع يد من طاعة لقي الله يوم القيامة لا حجة له ومن مات ليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. That whoever pulled back his hand from obedience, and whoever refrained his hand from obedience, and he met Allah, then he will meet Allah on the day of resurrection with no proof. And he will have no proof. And من خلع يد من طاعة, and he refused to obey. Whoever refuses to obey the authorities, and that which is lawful. Again, and that which is lawful, because there's a great principle in this affair, and that is, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. So this is a well-known narration, and it's a well-known principle in the issue. There's no obedience to the creation, to a person, and the disobedience to Allah. So all of these issues here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there, that he's advising to listen to the ruler, is based upon this principle. That yes, you obey the ruler in that which is lawful and permissible in the deen of Allah. As far as if he ordered you to commit fornication or to drink alcohol or to take interest, and he ordered with the likes of these affairs, would he have the billah? He will not be obeyed at this time. But if you order for the prayer to be established or for any of the other worldly affairs and the likes like this, then he will be obeyed in that. So this is something that is clear. من خلع يد من طاعة لقي الله يوم القيامة لا حجة له. لا حجة له. That whoever he pulled his hand away from obedience, meaning he refused to obey the authorities, then he will meet Allah on the day of resurrection, and he will have no proof. Why will he have no proof? Why will he not have any proof? He didn't follow the legislation because he opposed the guidance. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abda fi hadhi masala wa'adaha maratan ba'da marra, time after time, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified this issue here in great detail, and he repeated it time after time in many different circumstances and situations from many different aspects. So the one now that these narrations have reached him, he has no proof. He has no evidence. Rather, all of the evidences are established against him. So this evidence is clarifying that he has no evidence. لا حجت له. He will meet Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection with no proof. وَمَن مَاتَ وَلَيْسَ فِي عُنُقِهِ بَيْعَةٌ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. Whoever dies and he does not have a pledge of allegiance to the Muslim ruler, then he will die the death of Jahiliyyah. Because likewise, this is what they were upon in Jahiliyyah. They refused to have an allegiance to a ruler. And this is the issue. So here after this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, summarizing this point and the last two points together. وَهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثِ هِيَ الَّتِي جَمَعَ بَيْنَهَا فِي مَا صَحَّ عَنْهُ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ أَنَّهُ قَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا أَنْ تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَأَنْ تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَأَنْ تُنَاصِحُوا مَنْ وَلَّاهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ وَلَمْ يَقَعْ خَلَلٌ فِي دِينِ النَّاسِ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ إِلَّا بِسَبَبِ الْإِخْلَالِ بِهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثِ أَوْ بَعْضِهَا. So the author, he says now, rahimahullah, and these three issues here, يعني المسألة الأولى والثانية والثالثة, which are these three issues here, what are they? What are they? The first issue, al-ikhlas, to be sincere, to make the religion and all actions of worship and obedience sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. The second one, al-ijtima' wa adam at-tafarruq. Al-awwal, al-ikhlas wa nabdh ash-shirk. Al-ikhlas wa nabdh ash-shirk. To be sincere and to reject shirk from every aspect. Number two, al-ijtima' wa adam at-tafarruq. To be united and to not be divided. And to take all of the means, lawful and legislated, to establish unity, and to avoid all of the means that would lead to the infringement of that unity. This is the second issue. The third one, السَّمَعُ وَطَاعَ لِوَلَاتُ الْأُمُورِ. To listen and obey the authorities in the land. To listen and to obey the Muslim authority in the land. So these three affairs here, the author is saying, these three affairs here, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned them all together, and that which is reported authentically in as-sahihain. In as-sahihain, meaning in Bukhari and Muslim. Again, this is another narration that is considered muttafaqun alayhi. Muttafaqun alayhi. What do we benefit whenever someone says that this narration is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in as-sahihain? Or this narration is muttafaqun alayhi, or this narration is narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim. What do we benefit from that? What do we benefit from that? And we know where it's at, right? But what do we benefit from that? It's from the highest grade. It's of the highest level of authenticity. It's from the highest level of authenticity. So the believer who hears this, now his heart will be at rest. And his heart will be at rest about the authenticity of this narration. And he'll be ready to accept it. And it's a means of increasing in faith. If somebody said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this or he said that, and then you're listening, Allahu Akbar. When you just enough, that somebody ascribed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the statement draws your attention. And then if he says this has been authenticated by Sheikh so and so and so and so, then you say Allahu Akbar. But then, if, for example, it's collected by Abu Dawud, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. But if then he says this is collected in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. Now, any doubts or speculations that you used to have in your heart now about the authenticity or the ascription of this statement to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gone. So now you just listen and you accept. You listen and you accept that which is being narrated. And you have no doubt about that. Alhamdulillah. So this is from the benefit of that. So these narrations here, they're muttafaqun alayha. Or they're in Bukhari, or they're in Muslim. And everyone that we mentioned, except for maybe one or two, which was in At-Tirmidhi, which is also declared authentic by a number of by the majority of the scholars. They did not deny that narration or declare it to be weak. None of them. So these narrations here, just like the narrations about the niyyah, and just like the narrations about taqwa, and just like the narrations about salah and the virtues of salah and the virtues of fasting the month of Ramadan, how whenever we hear them, we're so ready to listen. These same narrations are collected by these same scholars and declared authentic by the same scholars who declared those authentic, and they're the narrations of the same man, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the same way that we listen to those narrations about salah and those narrations about the virtue of Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr and the likes like this, and the virtue of giving charity and smiling in the face of your brother and shaking hands and the sins they fall off and the likes like that, all of these wonderful narrations that we all love to listen to and benefit from, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated a whole lot of narrations about this issue. A whole lot of narrations about this issue. Yani, so this is something that is of utmost importance. In reality, these issues in the religion are only established whenever there's safety and security in the society. And that is only whenever there is a government that is in place that the people obey the authority, that the people obey its authority, and the likes like this. And then there will be ease in the land and peace in the land, and people can go to the markets and come to the masjid and go home and work and get a dollar and the likes like this, and establish their dunya and their deen. So these three issues here, they're mentioned all together in a sahihain. This is what he's saying, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا, that indeed Allah is pleased for you three things. That indeed Allah, He's pleased for you with three things. Three things that Allah is pleased for you. And in meaning that, that Allah, He loves these affairs and He's pleased with them. And that if you perform them, Allah, He will love you and be pleased with you. But if you violate them, then you're exposing yourself to the anger of Allah. To the anger of Allah. And that He will detest you and not love you. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, that you should worship Allah alone and not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. And this is the meaning of the shahada and la ilaha illallah. أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, this is al-ithbat. وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, this is nafi, and that you should not associate any partners with Him. So this is the first one, that Allah is pleased with, that for you to establish. That Allah is pleased with, that you should establish. وَانْتَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, that you should all hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether and not be divided. That you should all hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether and not be divided. Yani, hold fast to the rope of Allah, to the Quran, to the Sunnah, to al-Islam, to the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum, all together and not be divided. This is the second issue here. This is what Allah is pleased with for you to establish. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتُنَاسِحُ مَنْ وَلَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ, and that you give sincere advice, that you give sincere advice and deal. You deal with sincerely, giving sincere advice to those whom Allah has placed in authority over you. Placed in authority over you. Those whom Allah has placed in authority over you. So these three affairs are mentioned here in this one narration. They're mentioned here in this one narration in Sahih Bukhari in this manner likewise, indicating the importance of it, mentioning that these are things that Allah is pleased with for you to establish. Pleased with for you to establish, making the religion sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah, and not associating partners with Him whatsoever, and being united upon the deen of Allah, upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not being divided, and to give sincere advice and deal properly with the rulers, those whom Allah has set in authority over you. Those whom Allah has set in authority over you. And we have seen how to deal with them regardless of their case. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clarified how to deal with them, if they're righteous, if they're pious, if they're wicked, if they're evil, if they're oppressive, if they're innovators, if they're deviants, if their hearts are the hearts of devils. And the likes of this, all of this guidance has come in great detail on how to implement this, the likes of this narration. And the author, he says, وَلَمْ يَقَعْ خَلَلٌ فِي دِينِ النَّاسِ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ إِلَّا بِسَبَبِ الْإِخْلَالِ بِهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثِ أَوْ بَعْضِهَا. And deficiency and weakness, problems never came into the religion of the people, into their worldly affairs, except because of a deficiency or weakness in these three affairs or one of them. Except because of a weakness in these three affairs or one of them. And so these are great fundamentals. Great fundamentals for the establishment of the deen and the establishment of the dunya. And the deen and the dunya alike will not be violated. Will not be violated except by violating these three affairs or one of them. So by violating one of these affairs alone is a means to bring weakness and deficiency to the deen and the dunya. To the deen and the dunya. To the deen and the dunya. So this is of utmost importance, especially in these days, because so many people, they're making shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal, calling on others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the calling on the graves, and others sometimes they're wearing bracelets and the likes like this with metal, believing that it's going to keep them from a sickness and the likes like this. Maybe they're going to pray with you in the Jumu'ah and the likes like this. If you see those brothers with the likes of these bracelets, these steel bracelets and these brass bracelets and the likes like this, or other aspects of shirk likewise, having the eyes, the hand with the eye in it and the likes like this, hanging from their rearview mirrors, or seen in their vehicles, so on and so forth, any of these aspects, all of this is from shirk. All of this is from shirk. Even the society that we live on is based upon shirk. What is today? What is today? Wednesday. Wednesday? On Wednesday? Why is it called Wednesday? Because there's a guy named Woden, and they respect him and honor him on this day, so they call it Wednesday. The names of the days of the weeks based upon paganism and polytheism. Sunday, they worship the sun. Monday, they worship the moon. Tuesday, there's a god of two. It's the name of a god. Wednesday is the god of Odin. Thursday, there's a god, his name is Thor. He brings the thunder and the lights like this. What do you have to be left? Friday, there's a god named Frigg. This is all from the Greeks and the likes like this, and their false gods and their relationship with the belief in the stars, so on and so forth, which is all falsehood. Which is all falsehood. And Saturday, likewise, all of this is related to Saturn and the likes, and Mars and March. These names of the months, likewise, is related to paganism and polytheism. Paganism and polytheism. And we're in a Christian society. So this is also an indication of how the Christians, they deviated by compromising their religion and innovating in order to have authority in the land. So they mixed their religion with paganism. They mixed their religion with paganism and polytheism. And this is also from the stems and the roots of Christmas. Of Christmas. And he mixing with paganism and polytheism. And likewise Easter. Likewise Easter. They have an Easter bunny and Easter eggs. Do bunnies leave eggs? Huh? Wait a second. Where you got that from? Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. They don't even go together, right? Well, this is two different things. It's all about life and the time. When is Easter? In spring. In springtime, whenever life comes. If you put a couple of bunnies together, what happens? They have a lot of bunnies real fast. And the lights like this. And the eggs, they come to life. So they have creed in this. They have belief in this. So it's not really believing that Jesus was brought back to life. Rather, it's mixed up with paganism likewise. And the gods that have the god of the solstice and the summer solstice and the winter solstice. It's all falsehood. It's all falsehood. So this stuff is around us. And there are many people who are affected by it. And there are people who love it and prefer it. And some of them, they think it's Islam. Some of them, they think it's Islam, calling on the grave, calling on Jirani is deen for them. Calling on Ali and calling on Fatima radiallahu anhuma is tawheed for them. Waliyadu billah is falsehood. So these are affairs of utmost importance. Others, they have other false creeds. They can't accept the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal that befall them, and the trials and the harshness that they're facing in this life, and the likes like this. They do not accept them, and they do not. Why me? And the likes like this. All of this is weakness in faith and deficiency in the shahada. Waliyadu billah, and others, they're not holding fast to the rope of Allah. Rather, they're holding fast to innovation. They're holding fast to customs and cultures. They're holding fast to the ways of their forefathers, which is the fourth principle here he's going to mention about taqleed al-'am. And many of them, they're upon that way, and because of this, they have caused great disunity, separation in the ranks. And this is what we're seeing, what we're facing in these days. And likewise, the people, no doubt, they are not listening and obeying the rulers. And any land that has a society listening and obeying their rulers, they cannot help. Except try to disrupt that unity. They cannot live it. It burns their hearts that there are Muslims listening and obeying the ruler, and that they have peace and stability in their society. And I'm speaking about Saudi Arabia. They want to do to Saudi Arabia like they do to every other Muslim government. They want to do the same thing like they did to Syria, and like they did to Sudan, and like they did to every other Muslim country. And then that way they can come in there and do what they like. It's not a game. It's not a game that the devil is playing. So we should not play games with the devil. Waliyadu billah, you should wake up and learn your religion. This is manhaj. This is methodology. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. And we read so many narrations. Can anybody deny one of them? What should I do, O Messenger of Allah? What are you going to do whenever there's going to be rulers coming? They're going to delay the salat from this time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ra'sul Amri al-Islam wa umuduhu as-salat. Ra'sul Amri al-Islam, the head of the affair is Islam, and its greatest pillar that's upholding a salah. So many narrations about the virtue of salah and the rights of salah and the great establishment of salah. Man tarakaha faqad kafar, whoever leaves it, he disbelieves. It's a major affair. What are you going to do whenever rulers come? Rulers, people of authority, they're taking your rights. They might beat your back. They might take your money. They might disrespect you, and they might show preference to their family members, and they delay the prayer. What are you going to do? Make your own congregation. Huh? Make your own congregation? Build your own masjid? You pray by yourself in the proper time, and then whenever you see them praying with you, pray with them likewise. All of this is from the prophetic guidance, because this is from the issue of looking to the greater good and avoiding the greater harms. The greater harms, even whenever the ruler is a disbeliever, or even whenever there's trials with regards to the disbelievers, one, he will not approach them or advance on them. And this is seen likewise in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sumayyah, Ammar ibn Yasir, and Sumayyah and their son Ammar radiallahu anhum, they're being tortured to death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would see them. What would he say? Sabran ala Yasir. Be patient, O family of Yasir, O household of Yasir, because indeed your promise is paradise. They were not allowed to defend them or to stop them. It would have been easy for one of them to go by over there and stab Abu Jahl and be finished with him. But then what would happen? They would be wiped out. Similar like we see today, huh? They go and throw a rock at a couple of Jews, and now what happens? Huh? Rockets, never mind things. Rockets and bombs and guided missiles. And we got smartphones, they got smart bombs. Waliyadu billah, it's not so smart to go challenge people with the likes of those things when you have nothing. And then what do? They run and hide under the ground and leave the civilians to be bombed and to be destroyed. Huh? They go and run and hide under the ground. They have preparation to hide before with their weapons, but then they leave the civilians, the mom and the dads, and the children and the babies to get bombed in the street. Waliyadu billah. And now there's no street likewise over there either, right? There's no street. All of this is from opposing the advice of the Prophet, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's in our face, and then people, they'll still do it anyways. And this is from the fitna. The fitna, whenever the fitna comes, it will wipe a person out. It will wipe a person out. He will see the reality of these narrations, and he will see it in front of his face in these different Islamic lands, and then he'll go do it. He'll go do the same thing. Waliyadu billah. He'll lose his mind. This is what is mentioned about the fitna. He'll cause a person to lose his mind. He'll only a person who'll be crazy to read these narrations and then oppose them. much less to actually act upon that and to go to the street and to do this and to do that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. All of this is of utmost falsehood. وَلَمْ يَقَعْ خَلَلٌ فِي دِينِ النَّاسِ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ إِلَّا بِسَبَبِ الْإِخْلَالِ بِهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَ وَبَعْضِهَا. And deficiency and weakness never came to the religion of the people, never came to the deen in the religion, the establishment of the religion in the society, and likewise their worldly affair, except because deficiency in these three affairs, or in one of them. If there is unity, but there's no tawheed, there's going to be deficiency and weakness in the deen, no doubt about that. And if there's tawheed, but there's no unity, it's going to be deficiency in the deen, and there's no doubt about that. And if there's tawheed and then some type of unity, but they don't listen to the ruler, then in reality, there's not going to be unity. That unity will not last. There cannot be unity except by listening to and the authority. Except by listening to the authority. Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 463. The great imam from the Maliki Madhab, he's well known, rahimahullah, he says, commenting on this narration here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا, that indeed Allah is pleased for you with three affairs. He says, وَحَبْرُ اللَّهِ فِي هَذَا الْمَوْضِعِ فِيهِ قَوْلَانِ. And the meaning of the rope of Allah in this place here, in this narration, there's two positions. أَحَدُهُمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَالْآخَرُ الْجَمَاعَةُ. One of them, it means the book of Allah. And the other one, it means the congregation, meaning the holding fast to the congregation in obedience to the authority. This is what is meant by the jama'ah. Yani the holding fast to the obedience to the authority. Holding fast to the jama'ah, to the congregation, meaning complying to the authorities and being in the main body of those who abide by that authority and comply to that authority. So this is the interpretation of this statement here. In Allah yarda lakum thalatha, and ta'buduhu wa la tushriku bihi shay'an, wa an ta'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. When this is the point he's talking about, and that you hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether and not be divided. He said the rope of Allah here in this narration there's two interpretations. One of them is that it's the book of Allah, the Quran. The other one is that it's the congregation, the main congregation, any of the congregation of Muslims who are behind the authority, the Muslim authority. He says, rahimahullah, وَلَا جَمَعَ إِلَّا بِإِمَامٍ وَلَا جَمَعَ إِلَّا بِإِمَامٍ وَهُوَ عِنْدِي مَعْنَى مُتَدَاخِلٍ مُتَقَارِبٍ. And there is no congregation except with an imam, meaning an imam, not the imam in salat, imam meaning the Muslim ruler, the hakim, the ruler, the one who is in authority. And we call him a president today, right, or a king. There's no congregation, there's no main body of congregation except with having the authority figure, who the one who is in charge. The one who is in charge. And he says, and this meaning here is coming together, and they're very close. And whether you interpret the rope of Allah in this narration to mean the book of Allah, or to mean the congregation, or the imam, he says here, the meaning is similar, and they are included together. That the meaning is similar, and that they are included together. He says, لِأَنَّ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ يَأْمُرُ بِالْأُلْفَ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفُرْقَةِ. Because the book of Allah, it orders for unity. It commands unity and prohibits disunity and division. The book of Allah orders to be unified and forbids and prohibits division and separation. Division and separation. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah the Most High, He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, and do not be like those who divided and they differed. And do not be like those who divided and they differed. And he said likewise, وَقَالَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْرِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold fast all of you to the rope of Allah together and do not be divided. So the meaning of holding fast to the rope of Allah and to not be divided, this means holding fast to the Muslim authority and the ruler in the manner that is prescribed, in the manner that is legislated, in the manner that has preceded and clarified in the likes of these narrations. This is from the means of establishing the religion and from the means of entering paradise. With regards to this issue here, as Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a brief commentary. He says, فَفِي النَّهِي عَنِ الْخُرُوجِ عَلَى وُلَاتِ الْأَمْرِ عَلَى وُلَاتِ الْأَمْرِ أَحَدِيثُ كَثِيرًا. He said, and with regards to the prohibition of revolting against the Muslim rulers, there are many narrations. There are many narrations. We have seen many of them, right? This is only a few from many. What we mentioned here is only a few from many. So he's telling us that there are many narrations, and we have read ourselves many of them as well, and there are many more. He says that ahadithu kathiratun fi ghayati as-sihha was-saraha. That there are many narrations that are at the peak of authenticity and clarity. And if these narrations are at the peak of authenticity, like those narrations in Bukhari and Muslim, or in Bukhari or in Muslim, or that's been authenticated from the other books of the Sunnah, and they're also at the peak of clarity, meaning these narrations, there's no ambiguity about them, even if he beats your back and takes your money, even if he has the hearts of devils, what do? You listen. Even if he delayed the prayer from its proper time, all of these are very clear on the extent must one go to implement this principle.
Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his commentary on this point, it's very brief. He has a work called Al-Amali al-Najmiya in the explanation of Masail al-Jahiliyyah. He has a brief commentary on this point here. He says, rahimahullah, ففي النهي عن الخروج على ولاة الأمر أحاديث كثيرة في غاية الصحة والصراحة. And with regards to the prohibition of revolting against the rulers, there are many narrations at the peak of authenticity and the peak of clarity. At the peak, غاية الصحة, at the peak of authenticity and at the peak of clarity. At the peak of clarity. This is the point I want to read and to make. He says, رحمه الله, فمن خالف هذه الأحاديث فهو خارجي يجب على ولاة الأمر متابعته والقضاء عليه. So therefore, whoever opposes these narrations, then he's a khariji. Then he's a khariji. Whoever opposes these narrations, فهو خارجي, then he's from the khawarij. Then he's from the khawarij. Whoever opposes these narrations, then he's from the khawarij. And it's an obligation for the Muslim rulers to follow them up and to do away with them. And to do away with them. Right? It's an obligation. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَإِنْ أَدْرَكْتُهُمْ لَأَقْتُلَنَّهُمْ قَتْلَ عَدْ. He said, if I catch up with them, I'll kill them the way the Ad was killed. Meaning, I will finish them, every last one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if a man comes to you trying to split your unity, whenever you're all united behind one man, فَقْتُلُهُ كَأَنِ مَنْ كَانَ. Kill him, whoever he may be. Kill him, whatever tribe he's from. If there's a man who tries to disrupt your unity after you're already united behind one imam, فَقْتُلُوهُ, you kill him. That's what the Prophet said. This is the prophetic guidance. هذا هو المنهج النبوي. So, alhamdulillah, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they follow the narrations. So, when it comes to Salat, it's narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his hands in four different places. You know that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Salah, he used to raise his hands in four different places. Three of them are mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Three of these places are muttafaqun alayhi in one hadith. Another one is mentioned in another place. Four places. Whenever you come into whenever you make the takbir al-haram, you raise your hands. And whenever you go to the ruku', you raise your hands. Whenever you raise from the ruku', you raise your hands. And whenever you stand up from the first tashahud, you raise your hands. So why do we do that? Why you raise your hands? Because it's narrated to us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands. If he didn't, I would never raise my hands. I would not raise my hands. Why would you raise your hands? If it's prayer, right? It was revelation that was revealed to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was ordered to establish the prayer, and then he was clarified how to establish it, and he taught that to the people. So he said, pray that the way you see me pray. And they saw him praying, raising his hands here in these places. So we raise our hands in these places. You understand my point? My point. So this is prayer. So the same way that we raise our hands in these places, the same way in the last tashahud, when there's two tashahud, you make tawarruk, right? You put your left foot forward and you sit on your left backside, right? And you set your right foot up. Why you do that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. So whenever there's oppression or things going on in the Ummah with the rulers and your Sada, and you don't revolt against him, why you do that? Huh? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. But this one over here, with regards to this issue, with regards to the deen only, is this is deen between you and Allah, salat, between you and Allah, right? Huh? That's easy for them to follow. But here the dunya, the issues with the rulers, what are the rulers doing? Sataruna atharatan. Atharatan, you're gonna find them, they're gonna be taking your rights, they're gonna be taking your money, they're going to be oppressing you, prices are gonna go up, inflation, this and that, and this and that, price of the bread is gonna get high for you. All these other problems are gonna happen for you, Yani, because now it's related to the dunya. Now it's related to the dunya. And this is what they claim, even those that want to revolt, those ones who go against the ruler, they always, what did they say? We're gonna establish sharia, 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 khilafa, 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 and then they get the chair and they do the same thing.
And then their followers, they wind up doing the same thing they did to them to the one who was before, or the ones come back after them. And that's why they say that the Khawarij yani yatawarathun. Yatawarathun, yani salaf and then khalif and then salaf. They just keep going like this in this manner. They inherit it, this false creed and this corrupt understanding and this deviation in methodology. So to speak ill of the rulers publicly, or in any manner, or privately, likewise, this is all from falsehood and not from the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people of knowledge, they have a methodology, barakallahu fikum, and that is that they observe the circumstances and situations, and they observe the times and the conditions of the people. So if the people are tried with a particular issue, then the scholars, they will stand up and they will speak about that issue a lot in different places, in different manners, in different times, in different circumstances. So in the time of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, whenever they're claiming that the Quran was created, you will find them writing books about creed and belief, and they will establish the issue of the Quran not being created, and it's the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, غَيْرُ الْمَقْلُوقِ, and the likes like this, and they will talk about that a lot and defend that in a great manner. But now after that fitna is gone, then no doubt the issue is still established, but there's not a great need to go into details with regards to that, because the people are not tried with that. You understand? So they'll address and give more care and concern or time or effort to the issues that the people are facing. So in our days, what are we facing? What is from the greatest trials that we're facing? The Ummah. This issue here of revolting against the Muslim rulers. Revolting against the Muslim rulers. So because this is a great violation in the deen and the legislation and a great problem for the unity of the Muslims, this is something that we speak about a lot in these days. You find the scholars warning from this in many different aspects. We have people in America, you have people in Canada, you have people in Australia, what do you have, billah, fools. Fools with a shimag on his head and a beard on his face, and he's claiming that this ruler is a disbeliever, and these are the greatest disbelievers in the world, and if you pray behind the Sudais, then you have to pray again. You just pray behind them so they don't harm you, but then you go home and pray again because he's a kafir. And wallahi, they say the likes of this and worse than that. Huh? قَاتَلَهُمَ اللَّهِ قَبَّحَهُمَ اللَّهِ. They're problems. They're problems. They're cancer inside the ummah. What do you have to be? The Khawarij. And those people who are affected by them. And they have many different deviant methodologies and ways. And they try to put the clothing of the people of knowledge, or they try to put the appearance of the a Salafi and the likes like this. And they'll speak about Tawheed al-Uluhiyya wa Tawheed Asma'i wa Sifat, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, and they'll speak about the likes of Salaf al-Salih. But then they will oppose this principle. So that would not benefit them. That would not benefit them. Just like the Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, what did he say? Whoever opposes these narrations here, fahuwa khariji. Same thing, for example, if we start talking about the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then somebody says, no, I don't believe in the decree. And we mention from all these narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, that nothing happens except with the command and the decree and the permission of Allah, and according to the knowledge of Allah and how it's been written. Then he denies that. فَمَنْ خَالَفَ هَدِي الْحَدِيثِ فَهُوَ قَدَرِيٌّ. Qadariyun, whoever opposes these narrations, he's a Qadari. Even if he believes in Tawheed, he doesn't worship graves, he doesn't call on the saints, but he disbelieves in the Qadr, or he has a misunderstanding in the decree, he's Qadari because of this. This is a great violation from a great fundamental of the deen. Likewise, the one who has the issue with the Muslim ruler. He prays good. Maybe he doesn't call on the graves. Maybe this, maybe that. But this issue here, this is a great violation of the very fundamentals that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. In this manner, he become from the Khawarij. He leave the Sunnah. The same way the Qadari, he opposes the issue, the narrations of the Qadr. He goes away and becomes from the Qadariyah. Likewise, the one who opposes the methodology of dealing with the rulers as well, he goes away and he becomes from the Khawarij. Just like the one who denies the attributes in any manner or misinterprets them in any way, he's from the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah, the Asha'ira, they got roots back to Jahmiyyah. Maturidiyah, they go back to Jahmiyyah. They're the original ones to make ta'atil of the sifat in many different aspects, many different ways. Whether they're going to deny it, or whether they're going to misinterpret it, or whether they're going to change the meaning, or they're going to distort the meaning and the likes like this, all of this leads to them denying those attributes. And this is the way of Al-Jahmiyyah. This is the way of Al-Jahmiyyah, denying the attributes. So the one, maybe he doesn't worship a grave, and he's not a grave worshiper, but he does not believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has hands, then he's misguided. Waliyadhu billah, mubtadi'. This is bid'ah, kabira jiddan. Jiddan. This is major. These principles here, they cannot be violated. These principles here in the decree and in the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, in this methodology, in this manhaj here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثَ. And from that is that you give sincere advice and you deal sincerely and truthfully with the Muslim ruler. So many times whenever these people with these problems in their hearts, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, they hear these narrations, they look funny. They look funny and their hearts change. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah to make it easy for us to accept all of the narrations and everything that has been reported authentically from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to love that and to prefer it and to strive to implement and follow it. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمٍ.